Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb, and our guest for this next segment is Dr. Greg Jantz, who is a psychologist, and he has a website, aplaceofhope.com. He's the author of different books, including Turning Your Down into Up. And we're going to focus on the reality that, unfortunately, even during the holidays, a time of great joy and celebration for many people, there are others who are quite depressed. And Dr. Jantz will help unpack some of that and tell us some of the great things we can do to try and avoid that or to help those around us who are feeling that way. Dr. Jantz, welcome to the program.
Oh, good to talk to you always. And this is a sensitive time of year. You know, it's the holidays, and we have a season here where, you know, if we have a tendency towards depression, even if it's been a low grade, or maybe it's been more of a major issue and depression's been lingering for a while, it seems like this is the time of year that everything intensifies.
So you see a lot of people that they feel really bad during this time of all the time of the year?
You know, it is. Again, it intensifies. Sometimes I particularly I overconsume. It may be eating, maybe food, it may be temptations, but this is a time where there can be a lot of escapism behavior.
Hmm. I wonder, by the way, if you could just speak closer to your phone. Get your mouth closer there, if you don't mind.
Right on it. Oh, good.
That's much better. Oh, I appreciate that. I understand that you list 30 symptoms of depression on your counseling center's website. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there are, and by the way, I've got a great, we'll give a website out later, but a great questionnaire survey you can take. If you feel like, man, this may be me or maybe a loved one, take the free questionnaire. It's confidential. But here's some things to look for. Maybe my sleep has been disruptive. Maybe I'm having a hard time falling asleep, or I just want to sleep all the time. So there's kind of these extremes. I may wake up in the middle of the night. I may even feel like, oh, I wake up and I'm not rested and my heart's beating, and it's a time of stress. One of the things that we need to do is to look at this and just the overall pattern. Maybe I want to just overeat. Or maybe my appetite is just gone. Again, I'm looking for extremes. Maybe I feel like sneaking away and just being alone and spending my time on the internet and not with people. So maybe I feel like drinking alcohol. Maybe I feel like gambling. Or I feel like I want to do something, in essence, to self-medicate. Maybe I'm having a lot of self-doubt, and it's hard to make a decision. These could be some of the issues.
And so at the website, which is aplaceofhope.com, people could just go on there and take this survey. What percentage of Americans, would you guess, would actually be depressed during the time of the holidays? About.
What percentage of people may be depressed?
Yeah, roughly. Americans.
You know, what we do know, and here's is to look at, is the World Health Organization says that depression will be the number one problem in the world. They call it a disease by the year 2020. Can you believe that? Hmm. Number one disease in the world, depression, above heart disease, above cancer. So that said, we've got a lot of people who are suffering from depression. Teenagers dropping to younger ages. We're finding people who are really depressed and anxious. I think we live in an age of this. And I think, too, with uncertainty. There could be a time where there's been a loss of job, a loss of a loved one. There could be grief issues. And so we look at the numbers, and you know what? It's always a lot higher than what we would ever imagine. Hmm. And too often, people are suffering in silence.
Now, what about Christianity? I mean, I'm sure for those who are practicing their faith, some of them feel like, you know, their faith helps them through this.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, one of the things, and let me just mention this, we were voted, where I'm from, the center, we were voted the number, by a news independent news organization who researched places to get help for depression. We were voted number one in the nation. And I think it's for that reason that you just mentioned, is the whole area of developing a foundation of faith and to address that issue. And people who we cover long-term generally will say, you know what, I didn't have all the answers, but I believe it's really been my faith and the development of my relationship with God that really was a key part of my recovery.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be glib and say, well, take two scriptures and call me in the morning. But still, there is the idea that if you are focused on Jesus Christ, who can do all things, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I mean, it does make a huge difference. Plus, yeah, our lives have meaning. You know, we are, if you are in Christ and you are walking in Christ and in the light as he is in the light and so forth, and we confess our sins to him and so forth. What an amazing thing. I mean, a good conscience is a continual feast.
Oh, isn't it true? Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, now let me ask you this. That said, I read an article where it said that there's a problem lately of pastors committing suicide, although it seemed like there was just an anecdotal thing. One person here, one person there. But it's surprising. And then they said that, according to some organization called the Schaefer Institute, 70% of pastors constantly fight depression, 71% are burned out, 72% of pastors say they only study the Bible when they're preparing for sermons. Shame on them if that's true. 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families. I could see a situation like that when you're constantly dealing with some very difficult situations, and 70% say they don't have a close friend. You want to comment on any of that?
You know, I think there's issues of loneliness, yes. I do. And I believe that the issues of loneliness is contributing to this. I think we also live in an age of entitlement. And by entitlement, what I'm saying is people are expecting things instantly.
Yes.
And I think that's adding to this depression.
Sure. Okay, and get closer to the phone again, if you don't mind. Give us an example of a client that you saw. Obviously, don't mention any names, but just kind of give us a before and after. Maybe somebody that you were able to help, a success story. Maybe we could look at a couple of these, especially somebody that was maybe depressed around the time of the holidays, and by the grace of God, they were able to change their perspective.
Oh, you know, I think of a situation of a gal in her 60s, actually, who came to us, and she says, I've been depressed for 40-some years. I've been to multiple hospitals, mental institutions. She says, I've tried probably every drug there is, prescription-wise. I love the Lord, and I do not understand. I've unearthed everything I know to. And she came to us, and, you know, we really believe that we do this as a team. This is a whole team approach. And we look at nutrition, we look at sleep hygiene, we look at all the medical, we look at the counseling, we look at all the pieces to the puzzle. And do you know, in her case, one of the missing pieces to the puzzle, and this is suffering for 40-some years, trying so many things.
What?
And being in desperation.
What was missing?
Two things. There were significant food allergies. She was actually, and we hear a lot about gluten these days, but she actually had some very, very strong gluten intolerance.
So you mean one of her problems was a physiological problem, had nothing to do with her spiritual walk, nothing to do with her psychology, but just an actual out-and-out bodily issue that she didn't even realize. Fascinating.
Exactly.
Food allergy. What was the other thing?
The other thing was ultimately thyroid issues. And so as we look
both
at that,
were wow. Physiological. Wow.
So this is why it's so important that we look at this, understand that, wow, we've got to be willing to address the whole person.
You know, by the way, I've got to tell you, Dr. Jantz, it's good. We should be grateful for the time we live in, because in previous ages, you've got a demon, or, you're ready for the...
Yes.
The mental institution or whatever. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, just, you don't deserve to live. You know, boom, we're going to put you out of your misery.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Give us another example.
Another one that comes to mind is a person that was a gentleman, and he had maybe a similar story, but a lot of depression. And one of the things that he came to us that he had never been asked before, we asked him for 1 week to keep a food diary of everything he was putting in his mouth. And here's what it came up from that. He was drinking and this is going to sound remarkable, he was drinking 10 to 12 pots of coffee a day.
Pots. Not cups. Pots.
I said pots.
Right.
And that's all day long he's drinking coffee. That's a lot of caffeine. Nobody, here's the thing, nobody ever asked him what he was putting in his mouth.
And was he depressed because of all this caffeine intake?
This was, he was depressed, created hypoglycemia, created some real significant issues in his life.
Wow.
So as we look at that, we go, wow. You know what? We've got to look at all the pieces to the whole person.
So I take it in both of these cases that you give as an example, both of them, they were able to change what they ate. And or in the case of the lady, how did you deal with her thyroid issue?
Well, in this particular case, both some medications, some natural approaches, but that's why it's so important. Now, I'm going to mention one other hidden cause.
Wait. Finish the sentence. I mean, how did you deal with it? What happened?
Oh, through some medication, through some natural approaches to help address the issues of the low thyroid.
Okay, and so in both cases, these people found success in Christ, but through this change of what they put in their bodies, frankly.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's so important to understand.
Yeah. All right, what's the next point you were going to make?
Another hidden cause of depression has got to be unforgiveness. People that are carrying around hurt and bitterness from trauma from long ago, maybe don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've really carried with me a spirit of blame, a spirit of unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And that unforgiveness has contaminated my entire life. It's created depression, anxiety, and I really haven't understood.
Yeah, that's so true. In fact, I tell you what, for the last year or so, I've been trying to say every day this prayer consciously. It's a well-known prayer, you know, the prayer of St. Francis. But if you don't mind my saying it just for a moment, Lord, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow, as in S-O-W, love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand, to be consoled as to console, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying in Christ that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And I got a few words there wrong, but the bottom line is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's good psychology, not just good spirituality.
Yes, that's right. You got it.
You want to give an example of one of your clients without, you know, naming any names or anything?
Different than the ones I've shared?
Well, no, let's say related to the forgiveness issue. Is it possible that somebody is bearing a grudge and they don't even remember it? They don't even realize it? They've allowed a root of bitterness in their hearts and they don't even realize the root cause of all this?
They don't even understand the root cause or and it's happened from long ago. So, you know, absolutely. And one of the things that's so important is to understand that, you know, trauma not dealt with in our life or unforgiveness not dealt with us will go somewhere.
Mm.
It really does.
Yeah, it's like the late D. James Kennedy used to say, grief will out. How about,
that's right.
Why don't you tell us a story or two of some of the clients you've dealt with that had to ultimately face, a situation of unforgiveness? And maybe they didn't even realize it, and you helped them by the grace of God overcome this.
There are so this is probably the primary issue that we see mm-hmm. that comes through our doors, and you know, sometimes we're not aware of it. It's like the young gal who said, my dad said I was never going to amount to anything, I should be more like my sister. And so for her entire life, feeling inferior to her sister, for her entire life understanding that she was some way felt defective.
Mm.
So important that we understand. And it wasn't until so much later that we were able to really help her identify really this the core issues.
You know, sometimes somebody will say, well, you shouldn't forgive somebody unless they ask for forgiveness. In other words, you shouldn't forgive them unless they say, I'm sorry. Others would say, no, you should forgive them, period, and, you know, leave it up to God. I mean, God's the one who ultimately is going to, you know, forgive or not, you know, in case somebody's, you know, stiff arms Jesus Christ in their lives. But what are your thoughts about that? Do we
do we have to
forgive only if they have said they're sorry? Or shouldn't we forgive, period?
Oh, we're forgiving for us. It has really nothing to do with the other person. There you go.
Oh, so, I see.
Yes. So as we take a look at this and go, wow, you know, this is really, I want to be healthy. I need to take my eyes off the other person.
All right, now, you've been involved in this business, the psychology business, for what? More than 20 years?
30 years.
30 years, yep. Okay. What have you seen in terms of changes? Have you seen a greater caseload, a lighter caseload? What's going on?
We're seeing more and more depression than ever before.
Why?
More and more addiction issues. This is probably why the World Health Organization says it'll be the number one problem in the world by 2020.
Well, I thought they said depression would be.
Depression, absolutely depression.
Yeah, but I thought you just said addictions.
Well, addiction and depression to go hand in hand.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay, so the
more and more.
Okay, yeah. So the reason the greater caseload is because there's more addictions then.
I would say the addiction is a primary reason for a lot of depression, yes.
Right, right. All right, for those who've just joined us, we're talking with Dr. Greg Jantz, which is spelled J-A-N-T-Z. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is GraceNutRadio.com, and his website is aplaceofhope.com. He's the author of different books, including Turn Your Down into Up. The holidays can be a time of depression. So let's comment about the holidays and depression. Let's say Christmas Eve or Christmas itself. How could somebody be sad on Christmas?
You know, the loss. Maybe there's been a loss. Maybe there's been something that's happened and it's really created some complications. Could be some family conflict. It could be I don't have a job. I wasn't able to buy Christmas presents this year. It could be that I really forgot what the reason for the season is, so to speak. And I know we hear that a lot.
Closer to the phone, please.
Focus. Yeah, I'm right on the phone.
Okay, great. That's great.
So, I'm so sorry. I'm not sure what's happening.
No, that's no problem. Okay, what can we who don't feel depressed during the holidays? How can we be more sensitive and be helpful to maybe those around us, maybe other church members who feel lonely or whatever at the holidays?
Yes. Well, I think we do it without judgment. We say to them that I'm just walking alongside you. I love you. I'm going to be there for you. And we do it without judgment. You know, sometimes you may want to think, why don't you just snap out of it? And really what's happening here is we're judging the situation. We're going to love them without judgment.
Now, who's hit hardest by depression?
Who's hit hardest? You know, as I think about age groups, this is what, you know, we used to say there was more women than men, but that's not the case. Now we're seeing the depression issues with the teenagers. So I think if you have depression, you've been hit hard.
So in other words, people from different types of socioeconomic groups or whatever might fit in that category, perhaps.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's funny. Again, I referred to Dr. Kennedy earlier in this program, but I remember he once told me, he said that as he's counseled people through the years in reference to relationships,
yes,
and specifically in reference to marriage,
yes,
he said that he found all the single people, all they really wanted was to be married, and then he found so many married people, all they really wanted to be was single, or at least not married to the particular person that they were married to. I mean, it was kind of a sad situation, but kind of a commentary about marriage. And I guess, you know, that's certainly a factor, in terms of depression, I guess.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is why we've got to look at the whole person. This is why we've got to dig in there and go pray for discernment, because, you know, there's just as many, many different reasons for depression. And we need to be careful about our judgments with somebody that's struggling. You know, really, truly, if they were able to step out of it, they would. That's what I believe.
Hmm. All right. When it comes to suicide, how about a few comments there in terms of, let's say, some warning signs, something to that effect? And by the way, I read in this one article, and maybe you can set the record straight, this can't be correct. They said, quote, more than 2 million adult Americans made a suicide plan in the past year, and about half that many went through with the plan. Now, wait a minute. There's no way that 1 million Americans committed suicide last year. There's just no way. The number of homicides per year is about 20,000 people, and the number of suicides is higher than that 20,000. In other words, the number of suicides is higher than the number of homicides. But you're talking in the tens of thousands. You're not talking in the hundreds of thousands. There's no way. What are your comments about that?
There's probably suicide ideation or suicide attempt, or maybe some preliminary planning with some intent.
Oh, I see.
And so intent doesn't always end up into a situation where a person's actually done it.
Right. It seems like usually if there's a gun involved, there's the intent and the will to finish it, as opposed to, you know, some other means like using pills or something like that.
That's right.
One is final. One is, in fact, this is a very strong overgeneralization, but I've heard that sometimes supposedly when women, talk about committing suicide or whatever, they do it in a way that they can be rescued. But sometimes when men do it or talk about it, they do it in ways in which it's done. It's, you know. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Is that maybe that's sexist? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Men typically take a more violent approach in their attempts, and tend to, as it relates to suicide, have more successful attempts.
What warning signs could we read for those loved ones around us, you know, that may jolt us and make us realize, hey, this is serious. Maybe this person's thinking about suicide.
You know, any time a person says something to you, you know, it'd be better off if I wasn't around. Any time a person says something to you that, you know, they've been in depression a long time, or you see that they're beginning to seemingly act more impulsive, usually there's some cues in the words that they're using. So we listen to that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're going to intervene. We're always going to take the risk on the side of safety.
I've heard also that if somebody starts to give away some of their possessions, in fact, their prized possessions,
sure,
that's a sign also.
Sure could be. And trust yourself. Trust your intuition.
Yeah.
On this. So don't ever, you know, be in regret.
Okay. You know, when I asked you for some specific examples, and you gave a few different examples of people who were depressed, were they surprised to find out that in their case it was some of the things that they were eating that were causing them to be depressed?
There could be. I mean, that's just one factor. Yes.
You deal with a lot of eating issues, I guess, as part of your practice.
Well, we have a program for eating disorders, so yeah. Huh. That's just one piece of the many services that we do.
You know, it seems to me that, remember the old phrase, sugar blues? I think there was even a book called that, Sugar Blues.
Yep.
Is there anything to that? That can sugar cause people to feel depressed?
Well, sugar is a central nervous system depressant. So some people are certainly more sensitive to that than others. And so we really want to be aware of that, yes.
Huh. But it's different according to different bodies, right? I mean, obviously, somebody can enjoy a little treat or something with sugar, and it's not going to be a big deal.
That's right.
What about the whole notion of comfort food, which, by the way, that can be a real vicious cycle. I mean, I used to know this fellow, this one man. This is so sad. This guy is now dead. He died at the age of 34. This is a true story. This fellow was so big that basically he was homeless. And I asked him one time, you know, how did you end up like this? I mean, what happened?
Right.
He said, well, I got so depressed because my life was going so badly that the only thing that made me feel good was eating. But then as I would eat more and more and more, especially at night, then I would get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that made me depressed, so I would eat more so I would feel good. And so we got into this vicious cycle. And then, to top it all off, one Christmas, he took all these different buses in Fort Lauderdale to be with his uncle, and his parents were going to be there that night. They met him at the door. The uncle met him at the door and his aunt and said, you can't come in. Last year, you broke the furniture. I'm sorry, but you're not welcome to our family reunion.
Yeah, yeah.
They closed the door on him, and that was it. And he had to take the buses back, take different transfer buses and so forth, an hour and a half back to his homeless shelter. I mean, it's just so sad.
Yeah. Yep.
But comment about that vicious cycle, you know, the idea of eating for comfort food.
Oh, sure. We can turn to food and to self-medicate. Food can be the our drug of choice. Food can be the one thing that we end up turning to bring us comfort, whether we feel joy, we can celebrate with food, whether we're dealing with food with those uncomfortable emotions. When I'm angry, I eat. When I feel guilty, I eat. Maybe I feel fearful, I eat. And food really ends up being the drug of choice.
What about exercise? Does exercise play a good role in some ways in counteracting some of this?
Exercise can be an important piece. And we do know that for some with mild to moderate depression, we want to check their vitamin D levels. And we also want to have them do probably 20 minutes of exercise or walking a day. So that would be an important piece.
Good. All right. Well, let's end up on a very positive note. We've obviously talked about some serious stuff here, but at the end of the day, there's some great news that we remember every Christmas. And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Christmas really is a great time of year, even if some around us are depressed. We pray that we could be a blessing to those around us. Dr. Jantz, what would you like to say in closing on a positive note about depression and the holiday season?
You know, no matter how long it's been an issue or if you feel things really raising and amplifying this year, I want to let you know there is hope. Don't give up.
All right, and people can get more information at aplaceofhope.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Jantz, for being with us, and God bless you and Merry Christmas.
You got it. Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.